appreciate the invitation to preach, the confidence that has been given us. We love Home Baptist Church. Appreciate the years we were able to spend here as a member. Brother Titus was our pastor at that time. Also for Brother Dan and the fellowship we've had with him through the years. And thank you for your prayers, not only for us, but for our son. We are thankful now that he is back on ship and will be sailing sometime this week back towards the United States, be reunited with his wife and his sons, and he's been to Iraq twice. To our knowledge, has not had a scratch. And we thank the Lord for that. He's got one of the more interesting jobs in the military. He's a sniper. And from listening to him talk to some of the kids at school, he said the last time he was over there one time for 7 days and with one canteen of water and a handful of beef jerky. And that takes discipline. But we're just thankful the Lord is bringing him home again. This morning, we'd like to invite your attention to the book of Luke, chapter 17. And we'll begin reading with verse 22. Luke 17, verse 22, we'll read through the end of the chapter, says, "And he said unto the disciples, The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, See here, or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part of the under the heaven, shineth unto the other part of under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man shall be revealed. In that day, when he shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto me, Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. This morning, with the Lord's help, we want to speak to you concerning the subject, as were the days of Noah and Lot. I believe we're in those days at this time. A lot of people, and we will bring this out, it is part of it. A lot of people think as far as the days of Lot is sodomy. That's only part of the days of Lot. The days of Noah, they're here. We want to see what the days of Noah were. It wasn't just that Noah preached for 120 years and he went into the ark. There were other things upon the earth at that time. And I believe we're in those days. I believe as the way Sodom went in those days, we are in those days. We want to see exactly what took place. Looking back here in verse 27, in 26 and 27, it says, "And it as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they builded." The first thing we note here concerning this, as life was going on, they had no concern that anything was going to happen. They got up every morning as if they had 1,000 years to live. And we're in those days. No one has any concern. They're not aware, even though they've been warned that the Lord could come at any second. Even those who call themselves Christians today have no real regard that the Lord could come at any second. Even those who fill the seats of Baptist pews have an air about them that the world's going to go on forever. I wouldn't want to take a survey of how many Baptists or so-called Baptists were real concerned about who was going to be Pope. You'd be surprised. Kids at school said, "Mr. Cummins, you ought to run for Pope." And I says, "They'd kill me before I got there." They aren't concerned. They're not worried. Life went on. It says here, they married wives, gave in marriage until Noah entered into the ark. And they were being warned continuously that the flood was going to come. But life went on. The same thing took place in Sodom. "Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, did they eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded." This is talking about prosperity. Sodom was a very prosperous city, a city of commerce. And they were more concerned about their prosperity than anything else. Does that sound familiar with our world today? Amen. They're more worried about tax cuts and bigger paychecks and the next house or car they're going to buy than what's coming in the sky. We're in those days. Amen. Concerning us who say we're saved by the grace of God, and I thank the Lord that I am, look over in chapter 18, verse 8. It says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I don't think he's talking about saving faith here. I think he's talking about practicing faith. As we'll get later on, is concerning Noah and Lot, and you'll see the connection there. Lot's life sure didn't represent that of one who had practicing faith. Noah's did. Will he find faith when he comes? Let's look for a while in Genesis chapter 6 concerning the days of Noah. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe about this. If you disagree with me, I'll say that's your problem. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. These weren't angels.
Amen.
These weren't angels.
Right.
They were saved men that married lost women.
Amen.
And I think vice versa.
Yeah.
And brother, we're in those days.
Amen.
I've never seen in my life so many saved men marrying lost women and saved women marrying lost men. And that's the problem they had in Noah's day. That's why they weren't concerned about the flood coming, because they were mixing with the world, and the world has no concern about God.
Amen.
And we're there today. We had a young man in our church. 2 years ago, he married a lost girl. After many warnings, they were married 2 weeks short of a year. And she decided she didn't want to be married anymore. She left him. She filed for divorce, got herself a boyfriend. And he come before the church and confessed his sin and said he was wrong in doing it. And he wasn't going to follow that path anymore. You know what he's doing now? Dating a lost girl. He's going to be in the same boat he was before. His mom has talked to him. His daddy's talked to him. It's like talking to a rock. We're in those days. We're in those days. They married. And it says they married and gave in marriage right up to the day that Noah entered into the ark. God's people today have no concern that the Lord could come at any second. They're too tied to this world. Sons of men. The son here, I'm going to tell you what it means. It means a son, a male child, a boy, young man, a grandson, or descendant. That doesn't sound like an angel to me. In fact, angels are neuter. They can't produce. Fallen angels may inhabit as demons into a body of a human being, but they cannot reproduce themselves. But there's some other things we want to note here concerning Noah's day. When these began to mix, it says in he says here that there were giants in the earth in those days. That doesn't necessarily mean tall in stature. Giants. Guys like Napoleon were considered giants in their day. Political giants. But he certainly wasn't tall of stature. Einstein was a genius, a giant as far as intelligence is concerned, but he was not a giant man. That all ties in with this. As they were giants in the land, after the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. In other words, there's a lot of intelligent people in this world today.
Amen.
And as you look around, there's a whole lot of saved people that have married lost people, and they produce some very intelligent people. You know what happens to most intelligent people, super intelligent people? Most of them are atheistic in their thoughts. Most of them run from the fact of God. Also, he says here that they were men of renown. Men of renown means those of honor, authority or character, those of great skill, and highly intelligent. There's a premium in our world today on hero worship. There's a premium on giving honor to such men as this last pope. giving honor unto world leaders, educational leaders, political leaders. We're in that day. There's hero worship in this world. It's a sad thing that somebody that probably can't add two and two and come up with four makes $10 million a year in a baseball contract or a football contract and gets all these endorsements and is looked up as some kind of hero and is messed up as with the most immoral life that you can shake a stick at. That, I believe, was in the days of Noah also. We're in those days. Character. I don't believe he's talking about good character here. They tell me that today, if Bill Clinton was to run for president, he'd probably win. He's still the most popular president we've had in years. Why? Because the world loves immorality. They follow that sort of individual. Look what great things he did. What did he do? Nothing. He did things with our military that's against our Constitution. He sent men into Bosnia and Croatia and turned the authority to them over to the United Nations, which is against the Constitution of the United States. George Bush gets permission to send troops into Iraq, and he's an idiot as far as the world's concerned. You see, we're in those days. Bill Clinton would be considered a person of renown. Let's look at Lot. What about the days of Lot? So we look over in chapter 19. As God had told Abraham in chapter 18 that he was going to destroy that city. Of course, Abraham pleaded with God that perchance there were even 10 souls in that city. Would he spare it? God said he would. But God knew already there wasn't. You know, and as we see in chapter 4, is the two angels came to Lot, invited him into his house. They wanted to stay in the street. But Lot knew what the streets were like. Is there anybody here today that's not aware of what the streets are like? It's wicked. Even in the town of Elkton, the streets are wicked. They tell me there's places, I don't venture out at night anyway, but they tell me there's places in Elkton you don't want to go at night time because of the riffraff, the drugs, and other things that are carried on. We find here it says, but in verse 4 it says, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and called on the Lot, and said unto him, where are the men which come to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. You don't know, I'm not darn aware what he's talking about here. He's talking about sodomy. They wanted to know these men. And it's coming to that point in this world. Back in 1992 or 93, I forget the exact time, I was working in Lexington, Kentucky at the time. Two men were found having a homosexual affair. They were arrested and charged with a felony because at that time it was a felony in the state of Kentucky for such behavior. But within weeks, it went to a judge. The law was thrown out and the men were released. And you can't find anywhere where it's illegal anymore. It wasn't illegal in the city of Sodom. It says, and Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. But now I have two daughters, which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto those men do nothing, for therefore come they under the shadow of my roof. Can you imagine such a thing? Could you imagine somebody knocking on your door when you have guests, saying, give us these men that we might know them? They said, no, take my daughters. I tell you what, you'd be surprised what goes on in this world we're living in today. People giving up their children. There was rumored, 7th grade girl that's in our school, that her daddy was prostituting her. They couldn't prove it. So that's going on in today's world. That's what Lot was doing with his daughters. He was going to prostitute his daughters to save his guest. In verse 9 it says, and they said, stand back. In other words, Lot, stand back. And they said again, speaking of Lot, this one fellow came to sojourn. In other words, Lot came to sojourn in that city. He came to waller or make his living in the midst of all that filth. And he will needs be a judge. In other words, they said, how dare Lot judge our character? How dare you judge us today if we're Sodomites? We'll take you to court. We'll shut your mouth. Canada, it's against the law to preach on what I'm preaching here this morning. The state of Pennsylvania, it's against the law to preach what I'm preaching here this morning. You shut your mouth. How dare you judge us? I think their percentages are wrong, but they still tell us there's only about 6% of American population that's homosexual, but I think they're off by a good percentage. They're taking over this world. Not just United States. This just isn't an American problem. This is a world problem. If you take the time to read Leviticus 18, when God is preparing Israel to go into the promised land, and he gives them the laws against such behavior. At the beginning, he told Israel, don't fall into the sins of these people. That's why I'm destroying them. That's why I'm throwing the Canaanites out of Canaan. That's why I'm destroying people because of this sin. And that's going to be one of the main sins in this world when the Lord comes. I believe it's going to be one of the main judgments during the tribulation time. This evil. So were the days of Lot. He says, now will we deal worse with thee than with them. In other words, they're telling Lot, we're going to deal worse with you than with them. How dare you cross our path? How dare you judge us? And they pressed sore upon the men, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. That's the power of God. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. In other words, God sent them on their way. They didn't know where they was going. They didn't know if there was that Lot's door or their own door. And I'm telling you, morally, they don't know where they're at today. They don't know if they're male or female. Young man, been to our church on Wednesday nights, some sixth grader. I don't know how many years ago it was. His mom had divorced his daddy and took up with her girlfriend. And this poor kid doesn't know who he is. That's the world we're living in. We're there. We're in Lot's day. Genesis chapter 2. Verses 23 and 24, after God brought Eve unto Adam and performed the first marriage ceremony, it says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. A man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Not unto another man. Woman's not supposed to hold on to another woman. But that's the world we're living in. And it's going to wax worse and worse until the Lord calls us home. We'll look further back in 2 Peter in chapter 2 concerning the days of Lot and Noah. We've already seen there's a big contrast between the days the man Noah and the man Lot. But what we need to realize is that contrast is in the world today. That contrast is between us. In beginning of verse 4 of chapter 2, he says, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, being in the flood upon the bringing a flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them examples unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. First of all, we find here there's a righteous preacher and a silent saint. You know, we're there today. There are those who still preach righteousness. There are those who are still bold enough to stand in the pulpits and preach the Word of God, preach against sin. Then you have others who have been saved by the grace of God that won't say, when somebody uses foul language in front of them. Won't speak up. Lot went to that city. Why did he go to that city? Because he could make an easy living there. He was the doorman or the gate man. He sat at the gate. He let all those sinners come in and out. He had the opportunity to warn them. Everyone that come into that city, that which you're doing is ungodly. That which you're doing is against the nature of God. But money was more important to him. Now, in the days of Noah, Noah, it says, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, being in the flood, bringing a flood upon the world of ungodly. Noah for 120 years. And I failed to mention earlier, but if the world that Noah lived in was a whole lot more high-tech than what a lot of people think it was. They were, as we already seen, they were highly intelligent people. I think they had craftsmanship that we're not aware of. But when you have a boat of the magnitude that Noah built, and four men are building it, even with the best of skills, it's going to take a while to build it. Especially when you're building it to the specifications that God has given. It took them 120 years. And during that 120 years, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark because God said it's going to rain. Yeah. You fool. It's not going to rain. You know, you get the same thing today when you preach that the Lord's coming back at any time. You fool. You know, we're going to make sure that we got enough energy to last for the next 1,000 years. We've got to make sure that the generation after us has it better than our generation. We've got to make sure that gas gets under $2 a gallon. I saved a gallon of gas in my stamps this morning. But that's the world we're living in. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? Because God said it's going to rain. Well, it's never rained. What's that? Preacher of righteousness. The world ignored him. They married. They gave in marriage. Up to the day that Noah went into the ark. Perhaps there were some that came scratching on the door of the ark when it began to rain. But Noah was in the ark. The door was shut. God shut the door. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air, the door is shut. You can follow Tim Leahy's movies, Left Behind, if you want, but it's nonsense. They're not going to almost make a decision today. And as soon as wrath begins to be poured out on the world, say, oh yeah, those preachers were right. It's time to believe. Nonsense. When Noah was shut in the ark, that was it. If you're here and you're lost today, you need to listen to the righteous preachers. You need to hear that you're a sinner. Sinner of a choice. And the only opportunity you have is to repent and believe upon the finished work of Jesus Christ, or you'll perish. Even if you're still alive when the rapture takes place. You can search the Bible high and low, and there's only 144,000 that's going to be saved during that time. You can disagree with what you want. That's what I believe the Bible teaches. Lot was a saved man. You know, sometimes we'll talk about individuals whom have made professions of faith, who are out living in this world, and we scratch our head and we say, I don't understand how anybody could be saved by the grace of God and wallow in that sin. Well, a lot of times they aren't. But when we look at Lot, you couldn't stoop any lower than offering your two daughters up to a bunch of sodomites to do what they wished. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrowing, making them examples unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to those that should live this way afterwards. You ever heard of the city of Pompeii? Pompeii is a good shadow of Sodom. Twice, God destroyed that city with Mount Vesuvius. That's a volcano. It erupted twice. First time it erupted, come down and destroyed that city of Sodom-like, and they dug it out, rebuilt it, and went right back to the same sin, and God destroyed it again. You know what it is today? It's a museum. I was there. They think it's funny. There's fossilized individuals engaged in sodomy and bestiality. And as you go through there, the guide thinks it's funny. It's sickening. And it's sin. And it's an example of what God's going to do to this sin. But here was Lot, the gate man, taking the fare for people to come in and out, to conduct their business, and have their pleasure on the side. We're there. We're there. Amen. You ever wonder why a lot of these big executives have their conventions in Las Vegas and Atlantic City and places as such, so they can engage in their sodomy and whatever else they want to do when they're not in their meetings?
That's right.
We're in that today. That's the world we're living in. And you know, the sad part about it is, it's just like Lot. There's people perhaps sitting in those boardrooms who have been saved by the grace of God. But in order to make a big paycheck, they keep their mouths shut because they know they'll get fired if they said anything. What'd they say about Lot? We've let this man sojourn in our city, and now he's brave enough to judge us. We're good enough to let you sit in this boardroom. Now you keep your mouth shut about our sin. That's the world we live in. But thank God for verse 9 here. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I'm not going to be here when that tribulation comes. I'm not going to be here when God's judgment comes upon this world. As you study through Revelation, you'll see there's probably only about 20% of the people that begin the tribulation that'll be alive at the end. God's wrath is going to come on this world. We've seen samples of it. They call it natural disasters. When my son was on his way to Iraq in December, they had a tsunami, an earthquake, and then a tsunami. They delayed their trip to Iraq to go in tsunami relief. You know what those people are over there? Hindus, Muslims. They deny the true and living God. God's bringing His judgment upon this world.
Amen.
Last year was the worst hurricane season that we'd had in years. God's bringing His judgment upon this world.
Amen.
God knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Genesis chapter 7. After Noah preaching for 120 years, it was going to rain. When it came time for that flood, we see here in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, and the male and his female, and the beast, and that are not clean by two, the male and the female, the fowls of the air, by seven, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days will I cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, even every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from off the face of the earth. Perhaps that morning, after God spoke to Noah and said, in 7 days it's going to rain, Noah went out and preached one more time. 7 days, the flood's going to come. You old fool, you've been building that boat for 120 years and hasn't rained yet. But, he says, and Noah did according to all that God commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with them into the ark, because the waters of the flood. Noah went in because of the waters of the flood. When the trump sounds, I'm going to go.
Amen.
Because the wrath is coming down. Lot, as sorry as he was, God dragged him out of Sodom.
Yep. Amen.
You know what? I think there's a whole lot of Christians, I can't call them Christians because Christian means Christ-like, but a whole lot of saved individuals that when the trump sounds, God's going to drag them out of this world.
Yeah.
They're tied to this world.
Amen.
They love the world.
Yes.
More than serving God. But as Lot, though his righteous soul was vexed, God pulled him out of Sodom.
Yes, he did.
Before he destroyed it.
Right.
I believe when John says that there will be some ashamed at his appearing. I believe Lot was ashamed. He was ashamed. He was ashamed when those two angels come to his house and told him what was going to take place. But you know what with Lot also? Recall when they said, you go and you warn your sons and your daughters and your sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws that I'm going to destroy this place. Old Lot, who had sat there with his soul vexed because of the filth, when he went to them and said, God's going to destroy this city tomorrow, they laughed at him. He is as one that mocked. How many people who are saved by the grace of God today, if they began to witness to the person next to them at work, would be laughed at. Their life bears no fruit. We need to be aware. We need to be aware of our responsibilities. We need to be aware of the one whom we've put our faith in and serve him. We don't know when the Lord may come. But we'll leave you with this thought from Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11.
Yeah.
He says, and that knowing the time that now is nigh time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The mere fact that I got up Wednesday morning, as I did Tuesday morning, my salvation is nearer than it was yesterday.
Amen.
And we're in the days of Noah and the days of Lot.
Amen. Amen. Amen.